KUCQ Arizona, and welcome to Ham Radio and More. I'm your host, Len Winkler, KB7LPW, and today's show is sponsored by Wallpaper World, Antennas West, Ken Nichols of Linda Brock Auto Mall, and Portofino Restaurante and Portofino West. My guest in studio today is Reinhard Geisler, DL1UF. Reinhard is here to discuss his many experiences as a ham in East Germany and the vast differences between ham radio and what was East Germany as opposed to being a ham in the United States. But before we get to Reinhard, I want to pass along some QSTs. Remember the date, November 2nd. The Cochise Amateur Radio Association will hold their annual Ham Computer Swap Fest from 0800 till dusk at Green Acres. It's located 9 miles east of Sierra Vista and 2 miles south of Highway 90 on Mosin Road. Talk in on 146-1676, free admission and parking. There will be testing for all license classes on a walk-in basis. And for more information, give Rick Breitweiser a call at 459-1039, 459-1039. That's November the 2nd. Alex, a ham and a teacher at Carl Hayden High School, is beginning classes for novice, technician, and NOCO technician this coming Tuesday. The classes are absolutely free of charge, except that, of course, you have to buy the book that they require during their class, but otherwise the class is free. And the classes will be held every Tuesday and Thursday, and this is a little different time than the normal classes, from 3 to 4 p.m., and that's Tuesdays and Thursdays from 3 to 4 p.m., and it's going to last about 6 to 8 weeks. VE tests will be administered during the course, and there'll be hands-on practice on computers, and they're going to set up a station, so you'll also be able to try out a station. Everybody's encouraged to attend, young and old alike. Now, that's starting this coming Tuesday at Carl Hayden High School, located at 3333 West Roosevelt Road in Phoenix. And be there if you have any desire at all to become a ham radio operator. That's great that a public high school is getting involved in amateur radio. They're also starting a club. So wonder if other schools would like to do that. I want to thank the Superstition Amateur Radio Club for allowing me and the president of KFNN, Ron Cohn, to be the program for this past week's meeting. There were about 50 people who attended, and it gave me an opportunity to explain this show better and also ask for input on show changes. So thanks again, Superstition Amateur Radio Club. Enjoyed it. Now for some of the big news. Next Sunday, Ham Radio and More changes its starting time to 1 p.m. Now make a note of that. Starting next week, we will no longer be on at 2 o'clock. We'll be on at 1 o'clock. It correlates with the time change in the rest of the world, but we in Arizona are special. We don't change our clocks, but my show changes. So that'll be 1 o'clock starting next week. Now, also next week, to kick off the new starting time, we'll be doing next week's show live from the Arizona State Fair, and it will be a 2 full-hour show from 1 to 3 p.m. My guests will include Al Gross, W8PAL, and if anybody listens to this show, they're aware who Al Gross is. He's the father of personal use radio, including he invented the first walkie-talkie, the first beeper, the Dick Tracy radio watch was his idea, and more. And he'll have many of his inventions on hand right there at the fair, so all the fairgoers can go, and hopefully some of you listeners will come on down and be there live. We'll have Chris Townsend, also from the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club, trying to work DX on a portable HF station. And we'll have prizes and tickets to some very interesting upcoming events that'll be given away. I don't want to give away which events, but there will be some tickets, I was told, to be given away for something of interest in the future. It'll be a full 2 hour show, and that night the entertainment's going to be the Beach Boys, so why not come early, watch the live show, and then go see the Beach Boys after the rides. Make it an all-day affair. Again, our new start time, 1 p.m., please make a note of it. The following week, November 3rd, Oliver Grevy, W7WGW, at 1 o'clock again, will be my guest, and he'll be a most interesting guest, and possibly somewhat controversial. The following week, on November 10th, my guests will be, I'll have two guests, Dennis Campbell and Charlotte Couch in studio, and we'll discuss public service, what we do, all the events that amateur radio operators do and participate in for public service. We'll also find out which events Dennis and Charlotte consider the most fun and which they like others to volunteer for instead of themselves. And on November the 17th, we'll discuss the Quarter Century Wireless Association, and tentatively, we have Gerald Higgins, W9INP, as our guest for that day. So we have some good shows coming up, and we expect everybody to listen to each one. Our phone number is 241-1510, 241-1510, or 1-800-293-KFNN, 1-800-293-5366. And, of course, we'll take your calls. If you have any questions for Reinhard, or want to tell us about a club announcement, or you have something to participate in or announce, please don't hesitate to give us a call. Again, 241-1510 or 1-800-293-KFNN. And I'm still requesting that you all send in to me at KFNN your QSL cards, or if you're a non-ham, just send me a postcard and send them to Len Winkler at KFNN Radio, 4800 North Central Avenue, 4800 North Central, Phoenix, Arizona, 85012. That's Phoenix, 85012. And I'll send you back a KFNN KB7 LPW QSL card, and along with entering you into our prize drawing. And because I have been forgetting every so often to pull a card, I've had Reinhard pull one a couple minutes ago, and I'll be honest here, he pulled two, because the first card he pulled was his, and I was afraid of the response that we would get saying that he won. So he pulled a second card, and the winner, and the winner is someone who just sent in a card in the last week and a half. The winner is, are you listening? W-A-8-O-K-E, Ray Cunningham in Mesa, Arizona. It's a real nice Firebird Amateur Radio Club card. Got a beautiful picture of an eagle, I think that is, on the front. And it's a nice QSL card. It's probably the fact that it had a slick feel that made Reinhard pull it. But anyway, Ray, I appreciate you sending in your QSL card. And you're going to win a Sundrop T-shirt. And they will contact you as far as how to get it, but Sundrop is, of course, the goodwill ambassador for the state of Arizona, and Sundrop is everything good about Arizona. It's cheerful and fun. It's a great character, and if your club or organization or whatever event wants somebody to have as a mascot, wants to have somebody as a mascot, you can't do better than having Sundrop. So for more information about Sundrop, just give them a call at 275-7450, 275-7450, that's Sundrop. And again, Ray, thanks for sending it in. Our phone number again, 241-1510 or 1-800-293-KFNN. Friday afternoon around 3:30, I was beginning to feel extremely hungry. So at about 5 o'clock, I took my family to Portofino West Restaurante in Surprise, Arizona. Now, again, I've talked about Portofino for the last couple of weeks. It is a super place to go and eat. When I got there, I was frankly amazed. It's only been open about a week and a half now, and the place was packed. And this is no joke. The place was packed. All the tables were filled, and they seat about 140 people there at one time. People were waiting in line, and I had an enjoyable talk with the singer-entertainer. They've got this guy that sings, and he does a pretty good job of it, and he entertains. He's only going to do it for the first few weeks, but he was there, and I was talking to him, and about 10 minutes later, our table was ready. I took my two children and my wife. We sat down to eat. Portofino West is a real relaxed, comfortable restaurant. They have low prices and great food. Family owned by John Morello and his son Frank, who I interviewed a couple weeks ago, are the chefs there. And the specials that night, when I was there Friday, was orange ruffy, halibut, and they had a special veal dish. My daughter ordered fettuccine alfredo, my wife had the orange ruffy, and I ordered the veal parmesan. Now, When you first sit down, they bring you piping hot garlic bread with little tomatoes on it. And the best part is they don't stop bringing you this garlic bread. Now, my son and daughter ate pretty good. They had a lot of the fettuccine. They didn't finish the entire portion, but they ate a lot of it. But the bread, they certainly ate. So I'm telling you, bring your kids to eat the garlic bread. It was fantastic. And they eat the tomatoes, and the tomatoes, of course, is healthy, and it's good for you. It was really good. So, I mean, for nothing else, the garlic bread is excellent. Anyway, they bring it. It's piping hot. It's fantastic. They give you soup or salad with your meal. All the dishes were superb, and I mean super. Not the heavy pasta sauces sometimes you get to sit in your stomach all the time. It was deliciously seasoned and just plain delicious is all I can tell you. I had the tiramisu for dessert, and if you've never had that, you need to go there just to order tiramisu. It's absolutely fantastic. They have two locations to choose from. 59th Avenue in Bell is where the Portofino, the normal one is. Portofino Restaurante has been there for over 4 years. That's the northwest corner, 59th Avenue in Bell, and they serve lunch during the week also. Their number is 938-1902, 938-1902. And the brand new Portofino West at 128th Avenue and Bell Road in Surprise. Their number, 583-1931. 583-1931. And you should call if you're going to go on the weekend because you need reservations if you go on the weekend. But otherwise, dress casually, go there. Listen carefully. No matter where you live in the valley, it's worth the drive to Portofino. If you're concerned about the food you eat, go to Portofino. You'll be happy you did. And tell them you heard about Portofino from Len Winkler on KFNN, and you'll get your free beverage with your meal. So that's a reason to mention KFNN, free beverages. Portofino Restaurante, a little touch of Italy in Glendale, and now in Surprise. I'm getting hungry just thinking about it, Reinhardt. Okay. Reinhardt Geisler again, DL1UF is my guest. Welcome to Ham Radio and More, Reinhardt.
Hi, Len. Good afternoon.
And Reinhardt was born in East Germany and has come to Phoenix, and he's 43 year old, and he's a bachelor. And if there's a lot of women out there, I just want you to know that he is eligible, extremely wealthy, and desirable. So, okay, now to get to the more less important things. First off, Reinhardt, you get heavily involved in DX Association, and you were at the dinner for the convention, and because I didn't have anybody here who attended that event, you're the first one. I'd like to get your impressions of what you thought of the dinner for Seth Keogh. Tell us what happened there in the event.
Several of us from the Phoenix area sat in Dayton and also at the International DX meeting in Visalia, and because of his incredible background, we felt that he should be exposed to our guys here locally. And that's why we really tried to get him here. It turned out very well. We had about 120 people, 130 maybe, at a dinner on Friday night, and our guys did a good job, and Seth did a very good job himself.
And what was Seth's opinion of the convention?
He really enjoyed it. He made a comment in regards to how much more he enjoyed our convention compared to Visalia or Dayton.
That's a pretty good compliment, I would
say.
Yeah,
I guess he really liked the guys. This personal getting along was really very
Phoenix
beneficial.
Hospitality.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's excellent. I know I met him, and he seemed like a very nice gentleman. I only got to speak to him for a short time, but I know that he did do one thing that was very important. He became a member of the Wufong.
He sure did.
Because I saw him there. Okay. There were a lot. I know there were a lot of people there. How many people attended the dinner about? Do you have any
idea? I think it's must have been about 120, 130.
Excellent. And the mariachis were there, and the food was good?
Food was very good.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Let's talk about you now. I usually have a show discussing a club or some organization or some event that's coming on, and we've sort of done that for the last 5 or 6 months now. It's amazing that we've been on that long already. But we're going to start getting into what I call the who's who of amateur radio, and to interview individual people every so often as to their contributions to amateur radio and how, more important than that, especially with you, how amateur radio played an important part in your life. I know it did with Seth, for which is another story altogether, but even with you, it played an important part. Let's talk about you. Where did you grow up in East Germany? What city?
I grew up near Dresden in Saxony. Was born in Schellerau up in the mountains, and then spent most of those years there in Schmiedeberg, which is a town up in the hills,
and
in
so
the
get
foothills.
Gets cold there? Or?
Oh, it gets very cold. They may even have snow by now.
Okay, well, so definitely familiar with the snow. How hot does it get there?
Into the 80s, in the lower 80s.
You had to change it from centigrade to Fahrenheit, right?
Well, up to 28, 29.
Did you come, just to get an idea, did you come from a average family there, or a wealthy family, a poor family?
I would say from an average family. My parents had a bakery for many years. That made us stick out a little bit in this type of society, though.
Mm-hmm. So you owned your own...
Yes.
And were you able... Were they able to keep the money? I mean, it wasn't a state-run then, or a state-owned.
No, it was a
private
was
enterprise?
Privately owned one, but we could not keep very much money. They made sure that we couldn't make enough.
So when we complain about 38% for income taxes there, it might be like the government takes 90%.
It was not really that much the taxes, but the fixed prices. Mm-hmm. The bread was the same now, about 2 years ago, in price than it was in the late 40s. So my father never made enough money.
Okay. Well, that gives an idea. So yeah. They had nothing to do with amateur radio, or did they?
Yes, my father.
Oh, okay.
Not really with amateur radio, but he was a radio operator during the war. And I remember as a child that he was sitting on the radio listening to CW, and that intrigued me, and that probably gave me an extra push into ham radio.
Well, that, of course, was my next question, is what made you, of all the different things going on, get excited or get interested in amateur radio?
There were youth clubs that got involved in electronics and in radio building and this kind of thing, and I joined one of those.
And how old were you at that time? Excuse
probably
me.
About 14, 15 or so, maybe younger even. I don't recall, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then one of my friend got one of those 0V1, I don't even know how we call them here, just a tube type radio listen to the ham bands, and we listened to that, and I got instantly excited about it.
Well, okay, I would imagine. So your childhood or in your school, how does it differ? How did it differ from the United States? I mean, we go to, you know, we figure we're going to go first to eighth grade. Is everybody there? Is it mandatory that all kids go to school there?
It is mandatory, of course, and most people go for 10 years. And then they have an option to go another 2 years to be prepared for university. Unless you like to first learn a job and then go to the university, which is an option.
And then, now, to become an amateur radio operator there, can anybody can anybody join this club? Is it somewhat stopped? I mean,
well, in those days, one had to join a paramilitary organization, which functions somewhat like our MARS system. So we were using military type equipment and exchanging information on a military type system. The government was very interested actually in getting people into this to train them for military service. So what we usually did was we had to give code classes for young people to prepare them for the military.
Okay, so now you joined this club when you were about 13, 14. When did you first get your license?
I think I was 16 when I got my license.
Okay.
16 or 17.
Okay, so you're still in what we would call high school age,
yeah,
bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what we know basically what you have to do here. We have five classes of license groups, or five license categories, whatever. Actually, now a sixth one, I guess you could say, with no. Well, wait a minute. We have five with the no code. Okay, what about in Germany, in East Germany at that time?
The first step one had to take was to become an SWL, a shortwave listener. And that could have taken quite some time. You actually got a little call sign, a listener call sign,
So in other words, you can't go to your favorite East German town. Now, of course, we know that Germany is no longer like this. But when I say Germany, we're talking the old one, the old way. Okay, you couldn't just go to Radio Shack, per se, and pick up a shortwave radio and listen. You had to have a license to do that.
Oh, yeah, but actually what you had to do typically was to build your own radio to be able to listen, and you had to prove with QSL cards that you received from HAMS that you were serious about it. And the functionaries in the party kept a close eye on you to make sure that you're worthy to be admitted to a HAM license kind of thing to attest.
Now, did you have to listen to amateur radio operators on shortwave? Oh,
yeah.
You couldn't just listen to Radio Free America.
No, you were supposed to. But they were even checking how many QSL cards you were receiving from the so-called socialist countries and from the capitalistic countries. And you had to weigh that very good. Well,
now, the way you got the QSL card is you had to send them something and say you heard them and you'd like them to say, okay.
Yes.
Because, of course, they couldn't log it on. They don't know you were listening.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay, well, now, we don't have anything like that here.
I think we do have SWLs here, shortwave listeners,
who
just devote their time just to do that. But we had to do this first before we even were considered for the test.
Now, but anybody could go into an electronics store or whatever to purchase the parts to put it together?
Yeah, you could buy parts, but they were very rare. It was not that simple just to get parts. What we usually had to do was just dismantle old radios and use parts from there.
So basically the only way you were even had access was to be a member of one of these clubs?
Yes.
Okay.
And they were supported usually by the military and by companies who gave room, space to club stations.
So did they hope that by you being a member of the club and becoming an amateur radio operator, that the next step was to join the military and do work?
Of course. That was pushed all along.
Did that happen? Did you ever? Well, you never did get into
it. No, I never had to.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that. He has some very interesting stories to go into here. Okay, let's imagine a noiseless 5-pound solar power supply made of space-age materials that for the next 25 years will keep your radio or repeater on the air with no electrical bills, no noise, no maintenance, and no worries. That's just what a solar power supply from Antennas West can do for you. And if you throw in the fact that it can be unobtrusively attached to the roof of your house or your RV, or tossed in a closet till field day or whenever you need it, you can have a flexible approach to power independence. This system can deliver a degree of energy freedom for your station that means energy preparedness, carefree operation, and trouble-free power for years to come. With Antennas West Solar Supply, say goodbye to silicon crystals and glass because they use stainless steel. It's completely shatterproof. They use a panel so flexible and so indestructible that under test, it actually continued to operate after even being riddled with bullet holes. And with solar power, your rig has less noise than with regular commercial power. And you have nothing to lose with Antennas West Solar Power Supply, because if you decide that it isn't the most convenient, the most carefree way to power your station, or if you decide that energy independence, well, isn't worth what you've paid for it, you can just roll up the power cord, slip it back into the crate the way it came, and return it to Antennas West. They'll refund your purchase price. So give Jim Stevens, KK7C, a call at Antennas West. His number, 1-800-926-7373. That's 1-800-926-7373. And order one today. And tell Jim you heard about it on Ham Radio and more. And, you know, Jim gives you a special discount as long as you mention us. Antennas West, the place for all your ham radio supplies. Our number, 241-1510 or 1-800-293-KFNN. I know you're all intrigued, so you don't have questions for Reinhard yet. But he has a question for you. So, Reinhard, let's get a trivia question together. And a little tricky, but we have 100 QSL cards as the item to win. And I need to say that if you've won within the last 30 days, if you've won within the last 30 days, you're not eligible for this contest. So got to give a 30-day leeway. So, Reinhard, what is the question?
What is the call sign of the German polar station in the Antarctic?
Okay, what is the call sign of the German station in the Antarctic, polar station in the Antarctic? And all we need is the call sign for QSL cards. Obviously, someone who knows this is a DXer. QSL cards are going to be something that they need. Our number, 241-1510, 241-1510, or 1-800-293-KFNN. So if you think you know, give us a call. Now, has it, because I don't see the phones lighting up with people with the answers, was this published recently in any articles or anything?
I don't recall seeing that in a U.S. magazine, but I have seen it overseas. I can give a hint, though.
Okay, let's go with a hint.
It used to be an East German base, science base.
Okay,
that used to be a hint to the call sign itself.
Used to be an East German science base. Okay, hopefully someone will come up with the answer and our number. If not, well, we'll have to come up with another a little bit of hinting. 241-1510 or 1-800-293-KFNN. Okay, let's go now to what classes? Okay, you said there were three different. You want to continue from the shortwave listening? Well, then what happens?
Yeah. Aside of that, there are three ham radio licenses in Germany today. In the former East Germany, there were only two: a lower class and a higher class, which allowed you different power levels and different bands that you could use. But nowadays in Germany, they have three licenses: a non-code license, and an A and a B license, where the B license is the higher one.
So they have a no-code?
They do.
And they've had it for longer than we do?
Or? Oh, yeah, for a long time, for maybe 20 years.
And how many words of CW do you need to be able to transmit and receive to get a license in Germany, as opposed to here in the United States?
I really don't remember this anymore. Maybe 15 or so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was just trying to hear you say five or something.
You had to know it quite well, actually.
And they have a harder test than here, I would imagine.
It was a verbal test in East Germany, where I took my test. There was a committee there asking questions.
Did you pass the first time you took the test?
Actually, I did, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. You have good. I just was curious, you know. Okay. Once you got your license, you were able to talk basically. Did they frown on you if you was someone always monitoring if you, for instance, were on whatever 20 meters or whatever talking to somebody in the United States? Were there people monitoring, make sure that, you know, you weren't a spy? Or
that was a real consideration, since most of us were only allowed to work on a club station. We had individual call signs, but we had to use it on a club station. There were very few, comparatively speaking, that had their own station at the house. But within in the club station, they had a close eye on you, what you were doing. However, in contests, in general, we were allowed to talk to almost anyone. There were a few on a banned list. But we could call anybody, of course. As a matter of fact, our club station did quite well in contests. My Elmer actually showed up on the front page of QST about 25 years ago.
So how many contacts did you make while you were there? I mean, were you heavy into DX at that
time?
Oh,
yeah, in DXing and contesting.
And did they have awards like we do at the ARRL here?
Oh, yeah, we were applying for the same awards.
Oh, okay, from the ARRL.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And what did you tell me? We have the FCC. What do they have?
It's actually the post. It's a federal agency. And it is the post that is divided in the old Germany between telecommunications and letter carrying and telephone, and one of the sections was radio. So the post was responsible for what we were doing.
Okay. So you start out with the first level, or A or whatever, and then you went to mm-hmm. B, and then yeah. once you were there, you could do it all. And then yes. you tried to bring more people in, and mm-hmm. it just kept growing. How many amateurs were there? Do you have any guesstimate?
Probably it was variable, maybe between 20 and 30 young people.
Okay, so amateur radio operators, there weren't a lot. I mean, in all of East Germany, how many?
No, I'm talking, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Probably a ratio of 1 to 1,000to the.
Wonder how that compares with here.
About 550 here, I think. Okay. 1 to 1, 550. But we had, in our town, we had a lot of young people. There was, I went back recently, and a lot of people told me that our club station was the cultural center of our town, and we had the light was always on day and night, and all the young kids came in. It was all very fascinating because we did not have the contact to the outside, especially not to the West.
Okay, well, let's get to some more personal media topics here. I hear the East German secret police were not too keen about the amateur radio operators there. They were a little suspicious of them.
I guess most of governments of that nature are very concerned about ham radio operators. During Hitler Germany, ham radio was almost banned in Germany, except for some of the party members in general who were allowed to use ham radio. So the communists were more or less forced to allow ham radio in East Germany, but they did not like this at all because of the easy contacts to the West this way. And a lot of guys in Western Europe, in West Germany in particular, were trying to help us because of our limited means by sending us parts, tubes, even entire pieces of equipment.
And they allowed it?
Well, that was smuggled illegally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and once in a while they found out about it. And the secret police, of course, was concerned that they were creating a communication system behind the lines in the case of X. Mm-hmm. And they were very concerned about that.
So the secret police were a little skeptical of amateur radio operators in general.
No doubt about it, yeah.
And then, for some reason, they were suspicious of you in particular.
Well, I didn't have friends in the West that turned out to be enemies of the state of East Germany.
How'd you make those friends, right?
Well, I was very innocent, actually. Just as it happens that you talk to those people and you come closer to them for one reason or another, and I ended up in relationships that I did not know what they meant to the East German government at the time.
So what did this cause you? Now, at this particular time, did you have any desire whatsoever to leave East Germany, or did you always have the desire to leave, or what?
I had it probably since I was a child. The area where we were living was very close to the Czechoslovakian border, only about 3-4 miles away, and I saw as a child how Czechoslovakian refugees who used the territory of East Germany to get to West Berlin were mishandled and arrested. And I was always confronted with the border because we could see it. And I knew that some of family members were on one side and the other.
And it's exactly like you see in the movies. I mean, Checkpoint mm-hmm. Charlie or whatever.
Yeah. So that had always been on my mind, and I knew I had to get out of this place.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about your daring escape, shall we frame? Okay, in a minute, we have a little more business take. Now, again, our number, 241-1510, 241-1510, or 1-800-293-KFNN. Reinhard is challenging the DX Club. Somebody got to know the answer. He's losing faith in you guys. I mean, Tony, Frank, doesn't anybody know who the... what the name call letters are? Okay. Anyway, if you do know the call letters of the German de-expedition, or I should say what their call letters are in the Antarctic, give us a call. 241-1510, 1-800-293-KFNN. My friend Ken Nichols, WA7HXZ, you obviously should all know by now, is the fleet manager of Lindebrock Auto Mall. And he wanted me to be sure that I reminded each of you that buying a new vehicle has never been easier than now and more enjoyable than now when you deal with him. Now, see, Ken, you know, not that modest. Sometimes he tells it, but he's telling it the way it is. He is good at what he does. In fact, he's not good. He's the best at what he does. And what he does is he gives you the vehicle of your choice at the lowest price possible. Here's all you need to do. You decide on the make, the model, and the option of any new vehicle you want. Really, that's all you have to do. Just decide you want whatever car you want, whatever vehicle you want. Then you call 228-2336. 228-2336. That's Ken Nichols' direct line. Ken will give you the list price for that vehicle and then the absolute lowest price possible that you need to pay for it. That's all there is to it. You will be amazed. If you haven't tried it by now, now is the time. Give Ken a call. Ken will give you the lowest price with no hassles, no closing room tactics, no high pressure. You get the bottom line first. And Ken also takes trade-ins. He has low-cost financing, and he has leasing available if you rather lease than purchase. Remember, utilize Ken Nichols. He's almost an Arizona resource for any make of any vehicle. Whether you want a BMW, a Dodge, an Oldsmobile, a Volkswagen, a Cadillac, a Buick, a Nissan, or whatever, Ken will get it for you and at the lowest prices anywhere. You know, customers, this is honest to God's truth, customers come from all over the country to buy from Ken Nichols. And there must be a million automobile salesmen in the United States, and they buy from Ken. Why should you buy anywhere else? Don't make a mistake. Call Ken, 228-2336. That's 228-2336 for your low price today. And Ken will be on hand next week at the Arizona State Fair with yours truly and with some great giveaways. So come on down, meet Ken, and who knows? No, I don't think he's giving away a car. But you can buy one from him, and he can give you a price. He'll probably have his pocket calculator with him. So Ken Nichols, 228-2336. Carl, welcome to Ham Radio and More. I mean, Chris, I'm sorry.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I have a question. I'm not into ham radio, but always been interested in, you know, from a distance.
Okay.
And the question I have is, what method of phone emission, what is the best type of phone emission to get going to punch through man-made and natural interference, FM or sideband?
You're talking about if you want to get out and you want to be able to talk, what would you recommend, sideband or FM?
Yeah, what would you recommend?
Well, sideband definitely seems to do a better job than FM as far as distance-wise. I mean, I suppose you can go DX on FM, not too often, though, unless you have tropospheric ducting. You really, sideband would be best. Reinhardt has over 300 confirmed countries on DX, and I would imagine that of those that are phone, I mean, they'd all be sideband, wouldn't they?
Yes. Except on 10 meters, some FM maybe.
But that's really small amount. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a small percentage. Why are you asking that, just out of curiosity?
The thing is, it's not talking about DX. I'm thinking about maybe possibly purchasing a couple of mobile radios, and I'm torn in between like 10 meter and 6 meter for, say, emergency communication in the city. Not for DX, but, you know, for local. But the range would be, like, say, from 0 up to 50 miles maximum.
Well,
and, something that can get through, you know, for any kind of, like, natural calamity. Something that can get through a man-made interference, you know, such as motors and...
Well,
The question that I have that just comes to mind is, if you're talking about 6 meters or 10 meters on the amateur bands, obviously you need an amateur license.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and if you have an amateur license, definitely for communications within the general Phoenix, central Arizona, northern Arizona area, you'd be best on FM, because 2-meter FM, in that there's so many repeaters. And, I mean, you can talk from here into San Diego on 2 meters with the repeater links.
Uh-huh. You know, I'm thinking about something that would not be going, that would not depend on repeaters. And also possibly be used out in the field, like say, northern Arizona, from one camping base camp to another camping base camp. Something that has the best signal to be able to punch through naturally.
Well, for that, you're probably looking at FM, because on sideband, you're actually going to go, what do you say, 15 miles, Reinhardt, as a legitimate, safe 20 miles maybe in mobile communications on 10-meter sideband, if you're lucky.
Uh-huh.
I mean, unless you're talking from up in the mountains down to down below, you know, line of, that kind of distance, but on FM, what kind of range are you going to get on FM? You're not going to get much more than that, though.
Depending on how you're located from one place to another.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is, of course, legally, you could put out 1,500 watts on 2 meters. I mean, I don't know how much that kind of a linear would cost. But
there'd be no linear involved. So, I mean, there's really, like, no difference between sideband and FM. You know, get through, you know, natural and man-made interference then. There is not.
Use FM. I mean, that would be... I mean, you're asking really a difficult question. They're two different things. I mean, FM is fine. It's much quieter because of the squelch conditioning. I mean, just turn your squelch up. You don't hear anything until someone breaks the squelch, of course. On sideband, you want to listen to all the noise, QRM or whatever. But, I mean, I would prefer to use repeaters. I mean, you're always going to hit a repeater in Northlink up in the North Country. If you're going to be up in the Flagstaff area or up in Payson or Prescott or something up there, there's tons of repeaters to hit. You'd be better off going with the repeaters. Why wouldn't you want to use them?
I wouldn't want to have to depend on a repeater.
Well, I understand. I don't know. Reinhardt, do you have anything else to add? No? Okay.
I would just get a license, a ham license, and you would have the best service available, even better than the military and the government, using ham repeaters and so forth.
Yeah, anyway, the thing is that this might sound backwards about, you know, trying to figure out what type of a set is the best before we get a license. But the thing is, like, it's the analogy would be like a... would want a certain type of a car. I would have the hots for a certain type of a car and say, okay, I want to get a driver's license so I can drive that car. Whereas the other way, I get a license first, there's not much... whoa, is he still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. QRM or QRN there. If I have something to shoot for, then it gives me more of an incentive get a license. That's the way I'm just looking.
I have somebody on another line, Chris, that may have something to add to this. So hold on a second, okay?
Okay,
John?
Yeah, hi, Len.
Hi, welcome to Ham Radio More, John.
Okay, here's my comment on this. Single sideband will get through, for the same amount of power, it will get through better than FM. Farther, I guess I should say. However, FM will give you a better quality if you do have a strong signal.
Okay, so for a weaker, for less amount of wattage, sideband will do it. Well, if you have the wattage, then FM gives you a better signal.
Well, sideband is going to get you the farthest distance, but FM is going to give you the cleanest signal for the distance at which it works.
And are they both equally susceptible to natural and man-made interference?
No, FM is less susceptible, and as long as the signal is above a certain level, FM is less susceptible.
Oh, okay. That would answer my question. The thing is that sideband has a narrower per channel. It has a narrower frequency than FM. FM is wider, isn't it?
Yeah, typically, and the fact that sideband is narrower is why it can get through with less power.
That answers my question. I thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Okay, well, Chris, thanks for calling, and become a ham radio operator. There are classes all over the place.
Yeah, I am thinking about it.
Well, don't think, do. And John, thank you for... Okay, thanks, John, for participating. We always can use your input.
Okay,
Larry. All right, John. Bye-bye. Okay, let's get Reinhard to the next phase here. Let's talk about your escapes. How many times did you try to escape?
I tried about 3 times on different borders, and last time I...
The first time you didn't make it, is that it? Or the first 2 times, obviously,
right,
you didn't make it.
No.
What happened?
I just did not get close enough in one time to the border because of the circumstances. The other time I was caught by Hungarian border guards, and they were nice enough to just send me back.
Oh, really?
They didn't? Well, I used to live in Hungary for a while, and I spoke some Hungarian, and they became sympathetic to me, and they just said, go back on the train and hit the road.
Okay, then let's talk about the third time.
Then I had tried to leave the country legally with petitions to the government, and when they finally did not approve at all, I decided to use friends who got me a falsified passport. We met in Czechoslovakia. They went back, and I got caught at the border and was arrested and...
This time by the East German police.
No, that was in Czechoslovakia.
Oh, the Czechoslovakia, okay.
And I was in jail there for a while until they finally checked all my background and found where I was really was.
Because you did get out of East Germany.
I was in Czechoslovakia when I was trying to get into West Germany. And I told them, of course, that there was a West German. But somehow they put the puzzle together and found out that I was an East German. So they transferred me to East Germany.
Did you meet these people that helped you through amateur radio at all?
Yeah, one of those guys was a real bad guy to the East Germans, and others were relatives.
Okay. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so you got caught, and you were put into a Czechoslovakian prison?
Yeah, I was there for a while, for about 6 weeks.
6 weeks, okay. Mm-hmm. Tell us, I know we hear all the scary things of the prisons here in the United States. Tell us about how great the conditions were in Czechoslovakia.
It was very Spartan in there, that's for sure. The food was very, very low. There was no meat except for once a week. We got a small piece of meat or some fatty-type meat or something like this. But that was the only kind of thing. I was actually dreaming about fat meat after a while. But they were actually treating me quite well, the Czechoslovakians.
Go ahead.
Yeah. They were nice to me, but the treatment from the food side and from the sleeping arrangements was really bad.
So did you have a lot of people in the same cell?
Yeah, there were a lot of people in the same cell. But in East Germany, it was just the other way around. I had good food, basically.
Oh, so then you went from Czechoslovakia to East German prison.
Yeah, they transferred me to East Germany after they found out that I was an East German subject.
Mm-hmm.
But the East Germans were not nice to me because they had been waiting for me, basically. And I ended up in the jail of the secret police. And it was not a very nice experience because I was in solitary confinement the whole time and was interrogated every day. Sometimes for long periods of time. Unfortunately, at the same time, there were several hams in different jails in East Germany with similar problems, and they tried to play us against each other somehow.
Is there any truth, I know that obviously interrogation every day in solitary confinement is enough brutality, but was there physical brutality involved?
I was not confronted with that, but I did hear noises that would allude to that.
And so what were they trying to get from you? They wanted you to admit you were a spy or something?
Yeah, they had found papers with my name encoded information. So they didn't really assume that I was a spy for the West. Of course, they thought I was a spy for the Americans.
Okay, well, let me get this one last piece of business out, and then we'll be to the next part. Duet shades, 1-inch aluminum blinds, micro blinds, mid-size blinds, pleated shades, neat pleated shades, vertical blinds, 1-inch wood blinds, 2-inch wood blinds, 3-inch wood blinds, wide louvered wood shutters, draperies, bedspreads, valances, toppers, seat cushions, levelleur blinds, bally blinds, Kirsch drapery products, Kirsch blinds, Varisol shades, louver drape verticals, chic window coverings, fabrics of all types, wallpaper from every manufacturer in the world, in-stock wallpaper in each store, window shades, tools, pastes, sundries, and of course great personal service with the lowest prices guaranteed every day are only a few of the things available at your nearby Wallpaper World store. And of course I memorized all those things too. You didn't think I read that, of course. There are 6 stores in the Valley of Wallpaper World ready to serve you. And don't forget about Wallpaper World's free measuring and installation available on chic and bally custom window coverings with a very small minimum purchase. Also, if you mention Ham Radio and More, you receive an unbelievable 10% extra off the already low discounted prices. So go to your local Wallpaper World today or call 272-4788, 272-4788 for the location nearest you. Wallpaper World, where selecting all types of decorating products is a very enjoyable experience. So how did you get out of West of the East German prison?
I had fortunately a lot of friends in the West and also in the East who tried to push for my release, including the West German government, who in many cases in the past have been able to purchase prisoners who were unjustly in jail. And that's basically how I got out, actually.
Really? I just want to reiterate, no one has the answer to the trivia question yet. And I wonder if there's something we can give as a clue, because somebody wants to win these 100 QSL cards, because otherwise, you know, I'm just going to have to get them for Reinhardt or something.
I'll take them.
Okay.
Well, the station has been on the air for probably 10 years, and it used to have it does have an East German call sign still.
Okay, there's two numbers.
It starts with Y.
Okay, it starts with Y. Okay, our number is 241-1510, 241-1510, or 1-800-293-5366. It starts with Y, then it has two numbers, 88, and then all you have to give us is the simple last three letters, and remember, it's a polar expedition. So, now, come on, if no one can guess what the answer is, you guys are bad. I mean, he may not go to the next DX Club meeting if you guys don't come up with the answer. In fact, I'm sure he won't be there. He's going to be out of town, right? Okay. All right, so how long were you in the East German prison? I forgot that.
For about 5 months.
5 months. Mm-hmm. Oof. And, okay, you got out, and I know that the Baptist community had something to do with that also.
Yeah, the Baptist World Alliance. My parents have been working for a Baptist organization in East Germany after they gave up their bakery for health reasons. And we did have visitors from the West, from the Baptist World Alliance, who knew about me and who were trying to help me, even to get me into the United States later on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now what, of all the places in the United States, what brought you to Phoenix, Arizona?
Yeah, those people suggested it. They said it would be a very nice climate, would be very pleasant to be. And Germans do like the Southwest very much, the cowboys, the Indians. I've always been interested in that.
Really?
Yeah.
So when you came to the United States, what year did you come here?
In 76.
So 76 is, 15 years ago, so you were 28.
Yeah.
What did you do when you came here? I mean, okay, you were here. Where did you stay?
There was a restriction to my visa. I was not allowed to work for a certain period of time. So I turned out to be a student, which I was until a couple of years ago.
Oh, really?
But the church here in Phoenix sponsored me, First Baptist Church, who was approached by the Baptist World Alliance, and that's what happened, that I stayed there on their grounds for a long time and then moved out of town into a house that belongs to a ham friend of ours.
Just not trying to be too nosy, but how did you sustain yourself? Who was helping to support you, or were you, because you couldn't work and you weren't independently wealthy? So the Baptist organization be able to take care of you for that?
They did a very good job, and I cannot praise them enough. Later on, as a student, I was allowed to work at the university or wherever I was, first at Phoenix College, as a student aide to make some money, though.
Mm-hmm. We had an answer, but the answer was wrong, so somebody guessed, but they guessed wrong. Come on. Now, remember, it's a polar expedition. So, you know, there's a key in there. It's a polar expedition, and you all know it's Y88. Come on, we got 100 QSL cards to give away. So what do you think of the United States now that you've been here? You're almost, like, you've been in Arizona longer than I've been here. What do you think of the United States as a, what main things when you first got here did you find, two questions, did you find that were, I mean, I know you've talked to a lot of people here, so you had ideas of what was in this country, but what amazed you the most or was most interesting?
I think I was most attracted by the advances in technology. Being a ham, I was very interested in the space program as a kid, and have always thought about going to the United States if I could. I was very attracted by that. And by nature, I very much like the outdoors, and I'm very emotionally or attached really to Arizona and to the Southwest.
And you like skiing? You go up to north and go skiing?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go water skiing? You
whatever
a boater?
I can do, yeah.
Okay, all right, well, you became, Now, we were discussing, were you thinking of getting, you know, you still have a German call sign. Were you thinking of getting a United States call sign?
Yeah, I will get it eventually. There's always a problem with giving off your call sign because you identify yourself so much with your own call sign. I would like to have an American call sign, but I think I'm going to wait until I can choose one. I hope they will come up with a ruling like this.
Oh, you can get R7 or something.
No, N7 or something would be enough.
Wrong guesses coming in, huh, Kevin? Yeah, wrong guesses. We got 3 minutes to get a right guess. Otherwise, the polar expedition won't be won here. We'll have to give you the answer. And Jim Stevens of Antennas West will save 100 QSL cards. Okay. And if you did get the United States, a U.S. call, would you be able to pass, I'm sure you would, I hate to say it, 20 words a minute?
I like CW. I hope I would pass
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, you know, I know people who like CW, and they're only generals, you know, mm-hmm. so... don't tell me we have a winner, Kevin. We have a winner! We have a winner! Okay, he's shaking his head up and down. All right. Hurry up so I can get this on. I'm going to say a couple things in right now, a couple minutes before our close. I want to thank my sponsors, Wallpaper World, Portofino Restaurante, Antennas West, and Ken Nichols. And remember, come on out next week to the Arizona State Fair. Ham Radio and More will begin at 1 p.m. next week for a period of 2 hours, and each week thereafter will start at 1 o'clock. So remember, no more 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock. And tell a friend, you know, tell a non-ham to listen to Ham Radio and More. That's how they can know what's going on with amateur radio. I mean, today we had a personal interest story. I mean, I was kind of interested in this story. You know, you read about people like this escaping, you never really get to meet them one-on-one, and especially a ham radio operator, and who's very happy that he's in this country. But you are going, what do you think about the unification? And I know you are going back to see your parents.
It was the most important day for me and ever since I can think of anything.
So do you think there's anybody in Germany who has negative, other than maybe some East German secret police or something?
Yes, who are in jail right now.
But other than that, anybody else really that has a negative about it, you think?
Well, there are always some negative feelings about it, because it means to the East Germans in particular that everything is changing. And as you know, nobody likes change as such, and I know there is nothing really the same anymore in East Germany.
The winner was Gene Lee, G-E-N-E-L-E-E. I hope that was right, because that's what's going to be on your QSL cards. So, okay, K-B-7-G-I-R. Do you know him, Reinhardt?
No, I don't.
How did he? I should have asked him. Do you know how he found out the answer? How he knew the answer? Okay, I don't know if he guessed or not, but congratulations, Gene. You will get 100 QSL cards from Antennas West. And again, Antennas West, courtesy of Antennas West, 100 QSL cards. And they produce really nice ones, and they're inexpensive. And you can get them in one day if you really want them that fast. They have real quick turnaround. And again, Antennas West, 1-800-926-7373. What do we got? A minute left? 1 minute left. Anything you want to say to sum everything up, Reinhardt?
I was just thinking again about Seth, who was here recently with his real terrible experience back in a communist country where about 3 million people died. I think we all, over this past week, and who got to know him a little bit better, began to appreciate more what we can enjoy in this country, what liberty really means to us.
He really talked about that, about ham radio mm-hmm. being important with him Cambodia.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate everybody listening to the show. Thank you, Reinhardt, for being
You're
here
welcome.
And telling us a little about your history and experiences. Good luck on your travel.
Thanks.
Come back safe. And again, everybody, I can't say it enough, come on down next week to the State Fair. But more important than anything, remember, 1 o'clock, tell everybody, we're changed from 2 o'clock to 1 o'clock. KFNN Radio, thank you.